We're going to dive into the word now, and I'm really excited about this word. In the first service, it completely went in a direction I didn't expect. We'll see if it happens again in the second service. But, you know, we're in a very sensitive time here in the United States. And I just love this time, every 4 years. Amen? Isn't it just awesome? You know, when we have an election. The truth is, it is very important. And we have to, you know, we have to sit and be subjected to so many different things. It's actually become very difficult nowadays to even know the information coming at us, whether it's true or whether it isn't true. And in the age that we live, you know, making the right decision is so important. Your vote does count. So in a time like this, it's amazing because even in the church, we see division, which is really sad because there shouldn't be division in the church, especially over politics. But not only is there a political war that takes place or is taking place in our nation, but there's a war on our lives. There's a war on our culture. There's a war on our beliefs. I said to the first group, what was normal 10 years ago, you know, I'm always amazed. People come to me and say, you know what, Pastor Alex, I just want to be normal. Well, what was normal 10 years ago would not be what today is considered normal. So what is normal? And these are things we need to be able to answer. And what is most important? Is it to fit in or to subject ourselves to the culture in this world and then submit to it? Or should we be someone that stands out so that our testimony will bring deliverance and healing? Listen to me now. You're cheering. It's great. You see, the truth about testimony is it can be a hard thing. To truly stand out against culture, against everything the world throws at you as normal, can be difficult. Because, you see, it doesn't only affect you in sort of like moral beliefs, but it affects the way you raise your children. It affects the way you operate in your marriage, the way that you run your business. You see, you can't have your foot in the church and operate like this in church and at home, and then in your business, you're a thief and a liar. Amen. Amen. Don't encourage me. So I really believe that this message is so important. My message is entitled, I Only Bow to One. I Only Bow to One. Let's go in our Bibles. Amen. You all know where I'm going, you naughty people, you. Let's go in our Bibles to Daniel chapter number 3. This is such a powerful story, but I believe there's a few lessons in here this morning that can really speak to us in this time that we live in right now. Daniel chapter number 3. This is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is an incredibly powerful story about three individuals that chose not to submit to the pressure of the culture. So let's read it together. We're going to read the whole story because I like to read the Bible. I like to read the story to you. I like the word to speak to you. So let's go. Daniel 3, verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width six cubits. He set it up in the plain of Duran in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. How many of you think that's pretty serious? So I want you to just imagine for a moment. We still live in a time where we can make a decision to do what's right and not be thrown into a literal fire. So I want you to imagine you're in a situation. Yes, you may be put into some kind of a spiritual fire, or you might be challenged in the natural and have persecution and all different things, which we're going to talk about. But I want you to see the seriousness and the total dedication of what we're about to read. Because if you resisted bowing to this golden image, you would literally be thrown into a fire. That's pretty serious. So let's read on. Verse number 7. So at that time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre in symphony, man, that's a mouthful, with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Man, that's the golden question right there. That's the question. So I want you to understand. Now, the word has been put out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not submitting to the command that's been set forth, the decree that's been set forth, and the satraps and the leaders go and report Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now it's gone from them being under threat to physically standing before King Nebuchadnezzar. And he tells them, listen, the instruments are going to go off. When the instruments go off, if you don't bow down, you're going into the fire. So that's where we're at. Now watch. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. This is so powerful. You see, you must understand, they've made a decision that no matter what, they're going to obey God's word. Listen to me, in a changing culture, in a different environment, when they are being told and commanded to worship another God, they have chosen to not do that, but obey the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, what the enemy is after is he desires for you to worship him. That's what he wants. He wants you to choose his ways, his plans, his commands. He wants you to follow him. And what he desires from you, essentially, is your worship. We know this is true because when Satan went after Jesus, this is what he asked him. Let's go to Luke 4, verse number 5. Luke 4, verse number 5. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, this is Jesus in the Mount of Temptation, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." This is extremely powerful, guys. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said to King Nebuchadnezzar, who in this moment represents the enemy, because he's saying, "Listen, I want you to worship me." Satan is after your worship. What you choose becomes what you worship. And so we see these three individuals make a decision that even at the expense of their life, they will not bow down to what the world wants them to bow down to. They will not bow down to Satan. Jesus made the same decision and it ended up taking him to the cross. But how many of you know there was a resurrection? Amen. So we know that what will happen to us in our walk, in our lives, is that we're going to be placed in the same position in many different contexts. In your life, you will have to choose culture, something that perhaps in your life is a way for you to find relief or healing or deliverance. Remember, he's the God that delivers. So what happens is in our lives, sometimes instead of surrendering to Jesus, we go back to an addiction. You must understand that the addiction becomes what you worship. To the young people, this is extremely powerful because to the young people, what you must understand is in your walk as a young believer, you're going to be challenged with the culture of today. LGBTQ. Oh, it's very quiet in Vero Beach. Come on now. You know, if you don't have sex when you're young now, you're pretty much not with it. Come on, you better give me a bigger amen. I'm trying here, guys. Come on now. You see, the problem is that's normal. But what you have to do is you have to stand up and say, "I will not bow the knee to what you call normal." Listen to me. The way we raise our children, it's exactly the same. There's God's way and the world's way. You have to decide how you will bow or to whom you will bow. What did they say? Oh, man. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know who's going to deliver you from the fire. Let's read on because it gets really good. Man, are you guys okay? It's so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Now watch. Let's go back to Daniel 3. We'll pick it up right where we left off in verse number 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Man, that must have been some hot fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So I want you to understand, when they were thrown in the fire, it's not like they were, like they walked in, guys. You know, they were bound up and they were thrown into the fire. And what should have happened is they should have burned and screamed, and it should have been absolutely hell. You with me? But we know that's not what happens. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Man, this is extremely powerful, guys. Because what you have to understand is when you choose not to bow to what the world wants you to bow to, and you choose to bow to Jesus, what you must understand that there's a fourth man that goes with you. Listen, you might be, when you choose the right thing, you might be in the fire. You might be in the storm. But what you must recognize is even in the midst of the storm, the fourth man will be with you if you choose to bow to him. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. There's a fourth man. Oh, there's a fourth man. And he looks like the Son of the Most High God. And he is with you in the midst of when you choose the right thing. Come on. Hallelujah. So let me paint the picture for you. You're a young person and you stand up for what's right. The persecution might be difficult, but you must realize that there's a fourth man in the fire that's with you. Oh, but here's the interesting thing. Watch this now. The Bible does not tell us that they saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fourth man. Oh. The Bible tells us that the enemy was the one who saw the fourth man in the fire. What does that mean? What that means is while you're in the storm, while you're in the fire, you might feel alone. But even those that persecuted you and put you there, they're going to see the fourth man. They're going to see the one that's with you, the one that will deliver you, the one that will give you the breakthrough. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. There's a fourth man in the fire. Man, I love it. You see, that's why the Bible says it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony that they overcame him. Yes, Lord. That means that I'm not going to bow to this culture. I'm going to call what's bad, bad. I'm going to stand up for what's right and what's good. I will only bow to one king. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Man. Let's read on. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came to the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had, watch this, no power. The hair of their heads was not singed, nor the garments affected, and the smell of the fire was not on them. You see, when you go through the fire, but you chose not to bow. When you come out on the other side, you are not going to carry the leftovers, the stuff. You're not going to smell like what you just went through. You're going to come out like nothing happened. You're going to see the breakthrough. Man, you know, we cheer, but let me tell you something. It is so difficult to raise a child today. Even though it's the greatest blessing. If you're a parent, you'll know what I mean. Man, there's nothing better than my children. I love them so much, my whole heart. I love my kids. But that means that I cannot bow to this world. That means I control how much time they have on social media. That means I say no to evil, bad video games that will destroy them. Oh, but you know, Mom, everybody plays it. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. And then this is what happens. This is what happens. They bring their kids to me. Pastor Alex, my child has aggression issues. He cannot stay awake in church because the dopamine level in his brain is so affected that everything bores him. It's the truth. Am I telling you that you have to eliminate social media? Do you have to eliminate our phones and whatever? I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you to parent it. Yeah, listen, you were clapping a minute ago, but you've stopped now. But somebody's got to tell you. And I want you to know, did you know that the brain scan of a child that's addicted to screens, the brain scan is identical to a cocaine addict? True story. I'm not making this up. So when you take it away, their withdrawals are exactly the same. Anger, outbursts. Well, you know what I'm talking about. So what they do is they say, let's leave that church. The only thing that will deliver your child is the truth. Pastor Alex, you know, Pastor Alex, my husband is so bad. I know. I agree. He's really bad. But I need you to understand something, that when you got married, you died. A wedding is a funeral. The two die and become one. So listen to me. Pastor Alex, I'm dying. It's so hard. I know. You're in the fire. I want you to know that if you keep on going, you're going to get to the other side. Every storm ends, guys. Every storm has an ending. You will get to the other side. But if you choose to bow to the enemy, you will not see the breakthrough. I'm not here to tell you what to do or to control you or tell you have to do this, you have to do that. In a culture where everything is changing all the time, I remember as a young child hearing this saying over and over from the pulpit. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man, in this culture, we need Him more than ever. He's the only constant. He's the only one who's consistent. His love is the same as it was in Genesis 1, verse number 1, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. When you need to know the truth, when you need to know what to do, you can go to the one place where there is consistency, where there is the same as He always has been, and the answer is there. The deliverance is available when you bow to only one. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. I can give so many examples. I want you to know that when you come through it on the other side, the fight, the battle, the struggle will no longer be on you. And watch what the Bible says. This is so amazing. Let's go back to Daniel 3. Let's pick it up in verse 28. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." And they frustrated the king's word and healed their bodies, and they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap. Watch this. Because there is no other God who can deliver like this one. There is no other answer, guys. There is no other healer. There is no other deliverer. If you want the breakthrough, if you need the deliverance, there is only one God. And it came out of the enemy's mouth. Oh, I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. And then my favorite part of the story is this last verse. We're almost done. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Listen to me. When you choose to only bow to one, to the King of Kings, and not submit yourself to the things, the culture, the addiction, whatever it is, if you choose to only bow to him, the struggle, the fire will be real. But you need to know that when you're in it, the fourth man is with you. You may not see him in that moment. Come on, let's be honest. When we're in the fire, sometimes it feels like we are very alone. But on the other side, the remnant of what was there will no longer be on you. And not only will it not only be on you, but now you will go to the next level. There is a next level waiting for you guys. Listen, how can I say that? The Bible says that we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. What does that mean? From one level to the next. You will experience breakthrough, but you have to make the tough decisions. You have to choose the word of God, which is normal. That's the normal. Come on, guys. I love it. Oh, man, I love it. Oh, Dad, you know, that's not normal. Listen, what you call not normal in the sick, perverted world, I'm sorry. And I have to be honest, my daughter's sitting over there, and she's a really good kid by the grace of God. But I tell you what the key is, and I just pray with all my heart. I say this with all humility because, you know, you don't know what happens tomorrow. I'm a pretty strict dad, guys. But I love my kids so much. They are my hobby. My family. I don't have a hobby like golf and stuff like that. I love fishing. I used to love it a little bit too much probably. And I'm not telling you to be like me. But if I have free time, I want to be with them. So when I tell them, this is not acceptable, and this is not good, and this is not right, they believe me. Why? Because I love them with all of my heart, and I give them all of my time. I told you a few weeks ago, you know where your heart is by where your money and your time is. They take all my money. I'm not joking. And they take all my time. But it's an honor for me. And I'm definitely not a perfect father or a husband, perfect husband. But I can tell you one thing. I choose the word of God to be my guide. Sometimes it means I'm going to go into the fire. But when I go into the fire for him, the fourth man will always be there. Amen. Let's bow our heads. There is truly, Lord, none besides you. It's not a matter of which God. There is only one God. They're not in the same dimension, zone, whatever you want to call it. There's no comparison. There is no other God. You are our God. We are so blessed because we know you. How is this that we know the God of the universe, the one who breathed life into the first man, and that same breath is breathing and living inside of us now? Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place. Lord, you know every single person in this room watching online. You know their struggles. Lord, it can be so difficult sometimes, especially when the world is screaming at us and trying to persuade us of things that are just not right. But in this day, in this place, we choose to bow to only one. There is only room in my heart for one King, and I choose you, Lord. We as a church, we choose you. Father, I know that there are people in this room that are struggling in their marriages, struggling with their children, struggling with addictions and struggles in their families and their businesses. You know those things. I pray, Father, this morning that each and every one will choose to bow to only you, and that you will take them through this fire to the other side, where not even their hair will smell of what they've been through. Their clothes won't be touched. They won't be affected. And on the other side, Father, not only will this take place, but the people that might have even put them there will be the very ones that will be affected and changed by their testimony. So, Father, let us be light to our children, to our spouses, to our colleagues, to our family and friends. Let us be the light that Jesus spoke of. And Lord, we are just so grateful. We are so thankful that at the end of it, when we get through the fire, on the other side is the next level, a promotion from faith to faith, from glory to glory. But Father, we choose this morning to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you guys. I pray that the peace and the joy of the Lord would be your strength, that as you leave here today, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship with the Spirit be with you as you go. You are blessed and highly favored. You are His. In Jesus' name, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Amen.